You suppose such a thing could happen today? Yeah. It's not comfortable to say hard things, but hard things need to be said. Because when we own and admit and have the courage to look at those things that we know that aren't right, that somehow culture and society allow, that's when the water gets thick and deep and we don't know how to cross it. Which is neither here nor there, right? And maybe you thought when I picked up the book, oh God, he's not going to read it again, is he? I could. Did you hear something new this year? Every year when you hear, I couldn't tell you how many times. 40 years times two or three masses, or sometimes three masses. I've heard, of course, these things many times, but you know, the question comes up somewhat frequently. Do you suppose Judas will make it to heaven? One of the things I heard today, in a way I don't think I heard before, he did confess. I have sinned, betraying innocent blood. The people that killed Jesus weren't any worse sinners than the sinners today. Given the context of our culture and society now, this could readily happen. That's why it's so important that we ourselves believe in Jesus, in the real Christ, a man who really went through this. Jesus is not a symbol. He's more than a prophet, but he is a prophet. And it behooves us to say and think and feel and tolerate the difficult things. The other thing that struck me this year, and I really perceive it every year, I think it's an important verse from the first reading, because shame is so prevalent. The emotion of shame is so prevalent, even in this post-psychological age. It wasn't too many years before that psychology really was quite new. Like my parents, they weren't psychology courses per se when they went to college. They were there, but they weren't like when I went to college. So for all the psychological understandings that we've gained, praise God and thank God, shame still binds a lot of people. That's why I take an extra minute. I'll get to the homily in a few minutes. The Lord God is my help, therefore I am not disgraced. Listen to the courage there. Shame is not easy to get rid of, but it is defeatable. I have set my face like flint, knowing I shall not be put to shame. I hope in some way that helps valid emotion humanly. We can and could feel shame for some of the things we do or things we fail to do that we ought to have done. But we should not accept shame that's put upon us because of who we are. They shamed Jesus because they did not believe he was who he said he was. But he was who he said he was. So the passion of Jesus is the passion of God. God's passion to save us. For Jesus, maybe the greatest part of the Lord's passion was his communion of love with the Father. He wanted to do the Father's will because the Father's will was his will. And the will of God was to set us free from shame, guilt, fear, sin, and death. And that's a tension for so many people, even Christians, but non-Christians. I could never believe in a God like that, who willingly let their son die or made their son die on a cross. God the Father did not make Jesus die on the cross. That's simply what happened. Not surprising. And one of the beautiful things that we don't take the time to think about, but it said several times in this particular reading from Matthew, all the prophecies that were fulfilled. It was the way of the prophet to lose his life. So ardently did Jesus, in this case, Son of God, believe in who he was and what he did because of the Father's love for him and with him and in him. The themes are obvious and they're familiar to us. Love, surrender, self-giving, betrayal, and death. We can't deny that. And they're at the heart of every Christian who actively professes their faith. I can't imagine, really, any attentive believer who does not feel some sentiment of compassion or other deep emotional reaction to the death of Jesus or any other person who would go through such things. Faith in Jesus as the Son of God, who freely, willingly, did not only endure the cross, he embraced it. He knew it was coming. If this can pass, let it pass. No, don't let it pass. If it is mine, then I shall drink it. The dying of Jesus can and could and should evoke in us a deep love and reverence and honor for God, gratitude. Because the cross is God's pure, uninitiated gift. No one here asked Jesus to die on the cross. Jesus chose it and accepted it. The passion of Jesus and his death reveals the essence and the nature of who God is. In the incarnate person of God, Jesus in Christ. The cross tells us who God loves, how God loves, and why God loves. Jesus is not a symbol. It's important that we know and understand the very real reality of Jesus as a human being. Sacrifice and desire and offerings that do not desire a body you have prepared for me. Why? Why did God need a body? So that body, we have bodies, in the body of Jesus, God, that body is offered and becomes itself the sacrifice that becomes the agency of our salvation. In today's world, it cannot be said enough. God loves because God is love. God is the essence of love, pure, eternal, and unchanging. Who does God love? Well, that's a long list. How much time you got? God loves every created person and every created thing that God created. Some of the things we've created, not so hot. God loves every Satan and every sinner alike, every person of every size, shape, flavor, color, creed, nationality, and ethnicity. God loves the poor and the rich. God loves the powerful and those with no voice. God loves ugly people. Should I say that? Not nice. I don't think God created any ugly people. Beauty is cultural and social. What we count as beautiful here, in another culture, ethnicity, totally different. I hope I'm not choking on my own words. Sometimes beautiful people can do ugly things, right? And because they're beautiful, they can think, well, that was all right, I'm beautiful. The story of Lazarus and Dives comes to mind. You know the story. The poor man, so poor that he had no food or appropriate clothing, no medicine, where dogs came and licked the sores. While Dives, his name isn't Dives, we gave him that name somewhere along the line, and there he is eating his caviar and filet mignon every day. No idea, well, probably very well knew the idea that the guy was on his porch. That's an ugly scene, don't you think? About the prodigal son, or is it the older brother? The prodigal son sowed his oats, and then he realized himself. The older brother never realized himself because he felt he was righteous. And his resentment and disdain, rejection of his brother, and the resentment of his father, that was pretty ugly too. Those things still happen. God loves beautiful people. He loves the ignorant and the educated. God loves immigrants, exiles, refugees, the war-torn, the weather-beaten, the oppressed, the starving, and the hated. God loves people who are a real pain in the neck. Ever meet anybody like that? Be careful. God loves the heartless. He loves those who are sweet and lovable and full of compassion. The cross and the death of Jesus is for every human being. The world doesn't see or believe that very clearly, do we? But we do. So that leaves the suffering of the cross for us, right? To give witness to love in whatever way we can. The cross and the death of Jesus is for all of us. And any understanding of Christ otherwise is a lie of human judgment, deception, pride, and envy. No one is beyond the reach of God's universal redemption. Those who may find themselves in hell have freely chosen that way, consciously and actively, consistently rejecting the love, the offer, the invitation, forgiveness, and the mercy of God. Sometimes we put ourselves in hell by the judgments we cast on others. How does God love? God loves with unlimited, unmerited, unconditional self-surrender, as we see in Jesus. God gives himself away. All that God is and the divine nature is given to and poured into Jesus so that through the person of Christ, all creation and all humanity are reconciled so that at the end, we will all be one with God. And if we're not all yet one with God, then it's not the end. That's the passion of Jesus. It's the reason for the cross and the necessity of God's death, because we die and God wants us alive. God did not create us just to die with no other end. The cross and death of Jesus, as you well know, is a contradiction. On the one hand, obviously an instrument of torment, and yet on the other hand, is it not revealing the beauty of love's truth? Love itself is a contradiction. Love is the reality of our deepest joy. I hope you know that. But it's also the cause of our most ardent suffering. In true love, the lover willingly chooses to suffer for the sake of the beloved, even when it's inconvenient and really irritating. Ironically, that same love, the source of our deepest joy, can be very frustrating. The glory and hosannas of today, Palm Sunday, culminate in the hatred and rejection that will lead to the cross on Good Friday. So when Jesus says, or not Jesus, Isaiah, I set my face like flint, I know I shall not be put to shame. Obviously doesn't mean that shame's never going to happen again. But it does mean in faith, we can turn to God and we can give the weight of that burden to the Lord, who well knew in the weeks and months before his crucifixion and as he hung on that cross, he knew the weight of shame and humiliation, and he endured it and he defeated it by the surpassing love and communion of life he shared with the Father. Now I'm skipping two paragraphs. You're welcome. Feel Jesus this week. Pay attention to him. Walk with him. Trust your faith in Jesus. You're not perfect, neither am I. None of us ever will be. Have faith in Jesus as your Savior in Christ, your brother and your friend. Try to understand Jesus and the love he has for you, not just with your head, but with your heart. The love Jesus has for you, personally, uniquely, and individually, you, is why he accepted the cross without bitterness or resentment. Bring yourself to Jesus just as you are. Just as you are. That's the only way. Isn't that a beautiful sound? Come to Jesus with your love for him, especially if you don't understand, and twice as much if you don't think you're worthy. Stop wasting your energy resisting God's love for you. Honor the Lord's death by trusting yourself to him. Out of love for all of us, Jesus surrendered to death. Now, you and I are invited to do the same, to surrender to him. That would fill Jesus with great joy. 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 Huh. Amen.